Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hour three of Old School comes your way here, 93.7 Ticket, ticketfm.com. No Foreman, just Orman. That's all right. Jay will be back in the saddle tomorrow. Looking forward to having him back and talking about everything that's gone down in the wide world of sports over the last couple days. Looking ahead to a pretty important weekend of football, even though Nebraska will not be taking the field. 3-1 Nebraska off until they take on Michigan State. Husker volleyball in action coming up here pretty soon. We'll tell you more about some news out of the Big Ten, get you set up for Nebraska's conference opener against Michigan. But first, 402-464-5685. We got business to get to on our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. 3581, recruiting has to move the dial for Nebraska. Absolutely. Recruiting is the lifeblood of every program. Not just recruiting five stars everywhere, not just getting the four stars you can get your hands on, and not just relying on your developmental process to turn every three-star you get into a contributor. It's a mix of all of it. That's where, you know, Nebraska needs the role guys to continue to step up and play their roles. Identify who they want in their culture setters, their role guys. That's kind of something that Rich Lovett and I talked about yesterday on Takedown Tuesday in the second segment of the show. Is Rich was talking about, you know, obviously the wrestling roster is smaller, but all the guys that get brought in just to compete, that aren't promised a spot in the starting lineup, that are a good enough wrestler to get noticed by Nebraska, but might never see the mat in an actual duel or meet for Nebraska. Mark Manning doesn't just go get guys to fill out the roster. He gets guys for purpose. Guys that he believes, with the right opportunity, with the right breaks, could crack the starting lineup, but if not, they have their head screwed on straight. They're going to be about Nebraska wrestling. They're going to be there to get the starters better. Not saying Nebraska football is not doing that. That just needs to always be front of mind for Nebraska. You can't just chase talent, but you also can't give up on chasing talent just because you haven't gotten it yet. Not every player you get on your roster is going to develop into a starter or even onto the 2D. But if that's the case, because that's the case, in fact, can you still go get guys that are going to push your top players, that are legitimate threats, that, hey, if you're not playing well, if you're not living up to the standard that we've set, we got someone else here that we like, that's earned their moment. Starters, you got to go out and earn it too. You know, I talked about this with Brian Munson on Monday. Please go back and check out that conversation that Brian and I had, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time relitigating it, because there's a big part of me that wants to believe Nebraska's players generally are good enough. Nebraska's skill core seems upgraded over the last 5 years. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight end, maybe a slight step down as a whole, but that's more a testament to how good the tight end rooms have been, more so than a knock on this current group. Offensive line seems better, certainly not elite anywhere. The best unit on Nebraska's team is probably the secondary, and that's a tough way to make a living in the Big Ten, but they've made it work so far. You know, I think Nebraska is recruiting well enough. Generally, again, you keep losing by one score in a lot of these games, tells you it shouldn't be a talent thing, but maybe it is. Maybe if Nebraska had one or two players on either side of the ball, they could say, nope, coach, give me the ball, I'm making a play, and then actually go make the play. Maybe it is a talent thing. You know, it's chicken. It's not chicken or the egg. It's chicken and the egg. You know, Nebraska hasn't had either as consistently as it's needed them. So sure, coaching can always be better. Sure, players can always be better. And recruiting can always be better. But how do you get better recruiting? Number one, you strike gold. You know, that's not what you want to rely on. So then if you're not going to strike gold or you can't rely on striking gold, you got to do it the old-fashioned way and keep digging until you do. That's the development, right? That's clearing the path for the guys that can actually play a role and make a difference in games. Drumstick on the Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. Why has Carter Nelson been MIA? He's been such a massive mismatch. Throw the ball up and he can battle for it. A big part of Carter Nelson's lack of availability has been the offseason surgeries that he had. Dana Holgorsen talked about this a couple weeks ago, saying Carter Nelson really was just now getting up to full speed. And, you know, I wonder if fans are higher on him than Nebraska's OC, right? Dana Holgorsen didn't really use Carter Nelson a lot on offense when he came in last year. From the outside, we see a role for him. There's got to be a role for him on this football team because I think he's a better receiver right now than Heinrich Harburg is. I don't know if Harburg's a better or worse blocker, but I think Nelson is a more natural, truer tight end. Not giving up on Heinrich Harburg through four games and then the bowl game at the end of last year, so five games at the position. Just haven't been impressed. And you know what? You tried something. It didn't work. Keep giving the young man reps and opportunities. But Nebraska's offense, at least to me so far, has functioned best when Luke Lindenmeyer is in the game. And I think Carter Nelson would be better at the role they're asking Heinrich Harburg to play. But that's just my two cents. So we'll move on from that. We have a couple on the defensive line coach. Jeremy Lincoln, do we need Nebraska to hire a big-name defensive line coach to revamp the defensive line? No, you shouldn't. But let's not underrate the brain drain that Nebraska's had from that position recently. Tony Tuioti was really good. He's doing a fantastic job at Oregon. Top 10 program in the country right now. Last year's number one seed in the college football playoff. That was a loss. Tony Tuioti was good. Terrence Knighton was good. Absolutely. That was a loss with him going to Florida State. I think Terry Braden's a good hire. But it's also, I believe, his first time coaching defensive line in college. Please correct me if I'm mistaken. Either way, he hasn't been around much. The selling point for him is that he's been around the NFL. Oh, he was with Chris Jones. Oh, he was with George Karloftis. He was an assistant defensive line coach up there. Could be good. Seems energetic. Like him. But it's year one. He's four games into being a college coach with a bunch of players that are generally unproven and untested. High expectations for the defensive line, to me, came from Riley Van Poppel taking a step forward, Williams Nwarney being everything he promised and more, and Keona Davis transforming into that full-time game wrecker that he showed spurts of being last year. That hasn't happened. How much of it is on Terry Braden? How much of it is on those players? It's up to them to know and decide. But it does have to get better. And then 0-0-7-3-9, Nebraska needs to spend more money on defensive line players and rev sharing your NIL. Much easier said than done, my friend. Much, much easier said than done. Just like in the NFL, the positions that are going to cost the most money, quarterback, obviously, left tackle to protect the quarterback, and then an edge rusher. Football's football. I get it. There are your differences between the NFL and college football, but the most expensive, most important positions are the same. You know, maybe corners go for a little bit more in the NFL, given the nature of that game, but I think that's about to come back to earth with the way things are headed. So the three that are always going to be stable money earners are going to be the quarterback, the offensive tackle, specifically left tackle, and the defensive line. Nebraska's had success in the past developing some of those guys. Nebraska also got really good recruits, right? Think about that 95 team that was just honored. Really interesting mix of relatively high-profile scholarship guys and walk-ons that grinded their way up. It's got to be a mix. It has to for Nebraska, because if all you're going to do is pay for these guys, that's not ideal. You would like to be able to spread that money around. And here's the thing. If Nebraska is one piece away, one piece, right? If Nebraska is just a left tackle away from having a complete offense, or if Nebraska is just one edge rusher away from, you know, fielding a top 10 pass defense and a top 10 rush defense, right? A true three down defensive end. If Nebraska feels it's there, it needs to go pay. It would be malfeasance. It would be mismanagement to not go get the guy that you believe would be the difference maker to elevate your unit. But if you're two or three pieces away, it's a harder sell. It's harder to have that conversation. Well, yeah, we need a left tackle, and that's really important. Yeah, we could really use a defensive end to get after the quarterback. But man, I mean, our linebacker core is pretty thin, and we're looking in the portal for potentially a backup running back, maybe a guy to challenge Emmett, maybe a guy to get true two carries. And, you know, we could always use an interior offensive lineman. And, oh, here's a young quarterback we like. We got to keep that room stocked, so we'll pay him to transfer in, sit and learn for a few years. Nebraska is not just one piece away at an offensive tackle on the defensive line. So until they are one piece away, you got to recruit better. You got to develop better. Buzzwords, I know. Nebulous, I know. Difficult, maybe, for the first time, you know, defensive line coach in college, Terry Braden, who I think is fine, you know, but can Nebraska get better? Probably. Could Nebraska get worse? Almost assuredly. Same sort of thing on the offensive line. 1508 says, Donovan Raiola, as the offensive line coach, has never really had a good group. He should be on the hot seat after the amount of time he's had here and not ever amounting to anything. I'll push back. I know the last time we saw Nebraska's offensive line, it was against Michigan, allowing 7 sacks, rushing for, I know, less than 4, maybe even less than 3 yards per carry. That's not good. It was a wretched performance. Here's the thing. This Nebraska offensive line, I believe across the board, is better and more consistent in terms of talent, and I'm not trying to say it's elite. I think, just like with Matt Rule's programs, it's been a slow build on the offensive line for Donovan Raiola, who's back in college after some time in the NFL. And of course, the last name plays into it, right? It shouldn't be everything. It can't be everything. You got to have the cojones to make the movie feel as necessary. But I'm not convinced that Donovan Raiola is the problem. You know, is he a true difference maker? Seems like he's more a floor raiser than a ceiling raiser for that unit right now. But I don't think he's a problem. He's fine. You know, JP, how many years is a slow build? As many years as it takes, which is going to sound like a cop-out, so don't just jump down my throat for that. There was a lot of talk about the year 3 for Matt Rule. And again, I don't want this conversation to be me telling you how to be a fan. Feel how you feel. Believe what you believe. Nick and I spent a fantastic first hour and first part of the second hour talking about that very thing. But think about where Nebraska has come from. I'm not saying in the last 30 years. I'm saying in the last 15 years. You change conferences. You fire your most successful head coach of the 2000s. Sorry, Frank Solich. I know you played for a national championship game and won an Alamo Bowl. And it probably wasn't your fault you were fired. But, I mean, hard to argue with Bo's 7-8 years in charge. So you switch conferences. You fire your most successful coach. You go through 3 identity crises. Nebraska's been through the ringer. And as Nick and I discussed, it's not new to college football. Nebraska's not alone in that. Nebraska's issues aren't unique. But me, from where I sit right here, as long as Nebraska continues to get better, and here's the thing, progress isn't linear. Nick talked about how hard the schedule gets next year. That's why it's important for Nebraska to win as many games this year as possible to buy some goodwill. But, you know, Nebraska just has been so forgettable. Sometimes bad, sometimes close, other times just kind of floating out there in the college football nebula and void that, you know, I'm not going to put a timetable on Matt Rule. Sure, there are times, you know, that you would like to see Nebraska have gotten to a point faster. You feel like you would like to believe that Nebraska is ahead of schedule here, or maybe it's behind schedule there, and why are they still behind schedule? I'm not going to tell you how to feel if you think Nebraska's offensive line is behind schedule. No, it's not elite. Did you expect an elite offensive line within 3 years? Maybe it's fair to expect, maybe it's not. But I think across the board, they're generally better, not perfect. And that goes for pretty much the entirety of the roster. You know, if it takes Nebraska another 5 years to get to the college football playoff, that's not ideal, right? I mean, if you're in year eight towards the initial end of Matt Rule's contract at Nebraska and you still haven't qualified for the college football playoff, yeah, that's probably a problem, you know, but let's say that Nebraska gets to the 8-4 mark that Evan Bland and I are in agreement that seems realistic for Nebraska. Okay, then they go 9-3, 10-2, you know, the next year after that, but they don't beat anyone of record and they don't get into the playoff. Okay, then they get back down to 8-4 with a tougher schedule. Then it's 9-3 and they're always on the periphery. You know, Nebraska, to me, the next step for this Nebraska program is not college football playoff. To me, the next step for this Nebraska football program is when you're eight, get back to the Bo Pelini level, win your 8 or 9 games, do that except without getting embarrassed and hopefully steal a game or two like that. Because for so long, with as mediocre and bad as Nebraska has been, I need to see that the floor and the foundation are stable, that you can bank 7 wins a year and you're shooting for 9 or 10. But until Nebraska has proven that, yeah, it's got 7 games in the bag, and then you got, you know, 3 coin flips and 2 really tough ones, you know, the next step for me for Nebraska is get to that position. Okay, and then over a 5-year sample, you've won 40 to 45 games. Okay, over the next 5 years, how do you push the 40 to 45 wins into the 50 to 55 wins? And I know that's probably not what fans want to hear. I get it. But is the purpose of Nebraska football and athletics and programs to get good now, sell your soul to do it, and then go through the cycle of, oh, we're good once we pay for players. We did it once, but we might strike out. Is it, you know, a program that builds for 2 years, kind of the Northwestern basketball model? We're going to recruit. We're going to develop. We'll take our lumps for 2 years. Year three, we'll show some promise and have a little bit of a breakthrough. And then year four, we got to capitalize because we're starting the system over from scratch again. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is Matt Rule's looking to do, but I think it's more of the latter. He wants to build something sustainable where, you know, Iowa's the easy cop-out comparison. What Minnesota's done is on the table. Shoot, Oklahoma State, what they did, making 18 straight bowl games. You know, Nebraska's got to get back to that, to where the bowl game is the bare minimum every year. You handle business in the non-conference. You beat the teams you quote-unquote should beat. And then you find yourself with 3 games on the schedule that determine how your season goes. Is Black Friday always meaningful? And to what level of meaning does that game rise? When you get your formerly crossover games against Ohio State and Penn State, are you getting blown out by them? Does it feel like you go in with no chance? Are you competing? Are you pulling the upset that you haven't pulled yet? When you're on the same footing as Michigan, as Illinois, as Indiana, are you winning those games 50% of the time? That's what's fair, is that you win 50% of the time in those big games. You know, 85-43, your expectations sound like what Iowa fans expect. We should strive for more. Absolutely. I'm not saying that's the end goal. I'm saying it's the next step, right? I'm not saying all Nebraska is ever going to be able to accomplish is 8-4 and be happy with it. I'm not saying 10-2 will be a miracle year. I'm saying the same thing for this football program as I am for men's basketball, which we need to have more Nebraska men's basketball conversations, but I'm beginning to feel some sort of way with Nebraska men's basketball that there is a floor level of this team is not going to go out there and get embarrassed. They're going to compete. They're going to be in some sort of postseason contention year after year, and you hope for their sake they can put it all together and make the NCAA tournament. Guess what? Might not happen every year. You know, in a college football playoff world, where there's 12 teams now, where there's 16, you know, new groups are being put together to explore 24. Yes, you know, Nebraska needs to be able to be a consistent top 25 program. And then when you feel like, yeah, we're in the top 25, we stayed there all year, maybe we dipped because someone else had a great week, and then, you know, we got back in the next week after they faded and they lost, then you get up to, okay, we're in the top 25 consistently. What are the top 15 programs doing to where we feel good about Nebraska's chances to earn a wild card berth potentially, or an at-large berth into the college football playoff? Then you get to top 15. And again, I'm not trying to put a timeline on it. If this doesn't happen by X year, it's a failure. If this happens by this year, okay, they're on pace. I don't know what that looks like. I'm just saying big picture generally. So then Drew Carr will wrap up with you. Devil's advocate, tell me how Indiana has done it then. I don't know. I don't know if you were listening before, Drew. Nick and I talked a lot about Indiana, the success that Kurt Cignetti has had. And Nick and I landed on that we think a lot of Nebraska fans' frustrations about the loss to Michigan and about just kind of the general state of the program is that Nebraska hasn't had that meteoric rise. Why is it happening for Indiana and not for us? I can give my opinion. I can give my take. I certainly did. And I want you to listen back to the first hour or two of the show. Number one, I don't think that's how Matt Rule's wired. Number two, I don't think that is how Nebraska has hired, right outside of Scott Frost, trying to catch that lightning in the bottle and ride that wave. So I don't know everything that's gone on behind the scenes at Indiana. You know, how is Indiana built into that program? You'd have to ask them. You have to talk to Kurt Cignetti. You'd have to talk to Scott Dolson. You'd have to talk to his assistant coaches and his players. It's on Nebraska, generally, right? The athletic department, the football staff, to figure it out. But you can't just say, well, Indiana did it, so why can't we? The challenges at Indiana are much different than the challenges at Nebraska. But there are some similar ones. How did Indiana solve the problems that are similar to Nebraska? Go find that out. What challenges are different from Indiana than you have here at Nebraska? Okay, there you got to find your own answer, right? You can't just study off the study guide for the test. You got to do your own research and figure out your own issues. This is not a big picture gripe with Matt Rule. It's just stating the fact. Kurt Cignetti felt like Flash. He still might be. It's been a year and change. You know, maybe next year Indiana's a 6-6 team. But for right now, back-to-back years in the top 10. You know, it felt like a flash last year. Seems like it's sustainable. But can Indiana keep this going for 5 years? Or is this their Dabo Swinney moment where they pop up, they have the two best years in program history, and then they're just fine from then on? We still don't know how it ends for Kurt Cignetti. But I still believe, tell me if I'm wrong, Husker fans, if I'm wrong, I still believe, generally speaking, the biggest source of frustration for Nebraska is that they haven't had that breakthrough, flash in a pan, lightning in a bottle moment or season in far too long. There's always been something capping Nebraska. It's never been Nebraska's turn, and you hate that it's someone else's turn, and I can't blame you for that. Trust me, I'm living it with you. I've been here my whole life. I've not been anywhere else. I get it. I'm just telling you the tack that I take when I see and I hear these conversations. We'll go to break. Plenty more from you on the Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. A lot of you to get to. Drumstick, Old Dad 34, 5086, 0658, Breaker, and 0739, Eric and Lincoln as well. Lots to get to from you guys on our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line as we continue old school.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
This is Old School, and y'all are killing it. Lots to talk about from our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line and our Honda of Lincoln hotline. Mike, we'll get to you here in just a sec. But our friends at the Lincoln Children's Museum want to let you know that they can help you out on game days. If you're planning a trip to Memorial Stadium for a Husker game and don't know what to do with your young kiddo, think about the Lincoln Children's Museum and their offer of game day play dates. For children ages 5 to 12, you can drop them off at the Lincoln Children's Museum 90 minutes before kickoff and pick them up 60 minutes after the game ends, knowing they will be well cared for at the Lincoln Children's Museum, offered all sorts of activities, science, technology, engineering, I think it's, art in the steam and mathematics, all related to football. It gets them up, it gets them moving, it gets their brains engaged. All you have to do is register online, LincolnChildrensMuseum.org. All sorts of fun stuff going on down there, just steps from the stadium. No hassle for you. Drop your kids off 90 minutes before, pick them up 60 minutes after the Husker game. And, you know, if you're in town for the weekend, right? Or the whole week, you come in on Friday, you're looking for something to do before Saturday's game. The Children's Museum opens 6 days a week. They have three floors of hands-on exhibits and creative play. Perfect for you out-of-town families looking for something to do with your young kid in town before the Husker game. All right, let's get to our Honda Flingin' Hotline. We got Mike on the line. Mike, a good Wednesday to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me on. You know, I think you're right about the, you know, wanting a quick win. But for people like me, I can remember all five national championships quite vividly. What I think the problem is it's just, you know, Matt Rhule's paying for, you know, 20 years of sins at Nebraska football. You know, after Frank Solis got fired and all that went into that, and I don't want to relitigate it, but we always were bought the, you know, the company line, you know, so we bring in Bill Callahan and there was some trepidation there, but boy, we were sold the line that we're going to get a modern college offense, and everyone was, oh boy, that's great, because we just don't have a modern college offense. And I remember the first play of the first spring game, he puts about five guys in motion and the crowd erupts. Well, we saw how that worked out. Then they bring in Bo Pelini and we get the, you know, same stuff. And, you know, we buy into that. That didn't, you know, won't go into that. And then you get Mike Riley and, you know, well, he's a 500 coach, but they tell us, and I hated this line, but he didn't have all the toys he's going to have at Nebraska. Well, that didn't work out. And then Scott Frost, and I wasn't for Frost just due to the fact that 2 years I didn't think prepared him to go into a league that probably has the best coaches in college football. And, you know, his assistant coach's resume spoke more to Division II football coaching than it did, you know, coaching in this league, the best coaching in college football. And so we keep buying into all these lines, and so you kind of wonder, well, yeah, Matt Rhule turned a couple programs around, but his record in against teams one of the winning record isn't exactly stellar. And at this point, you just don't know what to even believe. And I still believe in Matt Rhule, but, man, this is just getting old. And the company line never seems to come out quite what they tell us, and people are just getting frustrated. I think it's just an accumulation of all this thing not being what we're told. Just my opinion. Thanks.
Mike, I appreciate it. Mike joined us there on our Honda of Lincoln Hotline. Really appreciate the call. No, I think all of that's fair. This is what I've been saying for a few weeks now, though. If your complaint is the company line and you feel like you're being lied to by Nebraska, you feel like you're being let down, I think a couple of things are important to keep in mind. Number one, we never get all the details of a search process. We don't know exactly what leads into the decision to hire this coach or to not hire that coach. We'll never know what the decision makers were thinking exactly, what the exact draws were. You have to remember that everything that comes out of that athletic department is mostly true. Mostly. But you also have to remember they have agendas, they have opinions, and that gets mixed in. And Matt Rhule is a fantastic communicator. Not everything Matt Rhule says is 100% true. There's spin to it. There's always spin. If you're going to hire a coach, you're not going to say, we hire him, we hope this works. You're going to say, yeah, we believe that X, Y, and Z are going to contribute to this head coach being the right person for this job right now. Okay, that's just the fact. So you have to take everything that you hear from Nebraska with a grain of salt. I'm not saying they're liars, but I'm not telling you they're 100% truthful. Like I've said for the last couple of weeks, is my strategy, right, when I think about projecting Nebraska's stats or projecting Nebraska's record, is I'll tell you with my gut reaction and what my head thinks that, okay, yep, this looks like a 9-3 schedule. Cool. Nebraska's going to go 9-3. But when I come on air with you guys, well, I think through it, it's, you know what? Do I really think 9-3, or am I hoping for 9-3? 9-3 seems like an outcome that is, you know, maybe a little bit high. A lot has to go right. Well, this is Nebraska recently. Not as much has gone right as they need to win 9 games. So you know what? Even if I think 9-3 ought to be on the table and be achievable, I think 8-4 is more likely, more realistic. I don't know where they'll drop another game. I don't know what exactly is going to happen. I can't tell the future, but I think generally that knocking just a little bit of that upper level expectation off of everything you hear has gotten me to a pretty good headspace with most of these programs. And that's not lowering the standard, I don't think. It's setting my expectations in a reasonable spot. That's how I view it. We're Nebraskans. You know, we're Nebraska fans. I assume you are if you're listening to this radio station. Trust me, the better Nebraska is, the better it is for business. The easier my job becomes. Not rooting against the Huskers. But I've been in prove it mode. Show me mode, right? It's great that you say that about your team, about this player or that player. It's great that you promised Emmett Johnson the starting role, right? That's kind of my hobby horse right now. We'll get on that, right? Was he worthy of that promise? Maybe you like him. Either he's worthy of it and he's not living up to it, or he wasn't worthy of it and he made promises you shouldn't have made. Either way, it's not working out. And those are two wildly, wildly different conversations, right? And again, this is not all on Emmett Johnson, just a point, just an example. You add all that on top of the years of frustration that Husker fans have done. If you're tired of hearing the company line, then stop listening to the company line and taking it as fact. Plain and simple. Hear what they say and use some critical thinking. Look at the roster yourself. Look at the stats. Look at the history. Look at the trends. Look at other teams. And yes, on the one hand, that's easy for me to say. This is my job. It's what I do for a living. It's not what the rest of you do for a living. You have office jobs. You have jobs out in the field. You're working hard providing wonderful, you know, goods and services for the rest of us. And for that, I thank you. And maybe diving that deep isn't what you want to do or isn't what you have time to do. And I get it. So then don't. But if your rationale for being frustrated with Nebraska athletics and the direction of the program is, well, they said this was going to happen and it didn't happen. He said this was the guy for it, and he turned out not to be the guy. Number one, they're human. Two, they're wrong. Number two, they're always communicating in a way to put the positive spin on something or the best construction on something out of self-preservation, out of selling the program to recruits. Okay. That's just a part of the business. It's just a part of the communication style. And you got to find a way to parse through it. Sometimes they'll be right. Sometimes they'll be wrong. Usually they're partially right and partially wrong. Anyone at any university, this isn't just a Nebraska thing. It feels like a Nebraska thing because we're in the middle of it right now. But if you're upset about getting fed the company line, I'm telling you, just take a step back, knock 10% off your optimism meter, and go from there. All right, back to our text line. Eric, not everything Austin says is 100% true. No, false, actually. I don't know if I've ever told a lie on this radio program. Maybe not a lie. I might have been incorrect before, but we'll go from there. Let's see. Scrolling back down, Eric and Lincoln, can we all agree that Nebraska fans are thankful we aren't Wisconsin? Woo. Here's the thing. A lot of eerie similarities between Wisconsin and Nebraska. So while it's fun to laugh at another program's downfall, I would be very hesitant to do that. You beat Wisconsin twice in the Big Ten era. They're making a lot of the same mistakes that Nebraska has made. I am not asking you to feel sorry for them. I would never do that, right? They're supposed to be a rival. They're another conference team. I would never ask you to feel sorry for Wisconsin's downfall. But I wouldn't necessarily tell you to laugh at it either. Nebraska's been in that same spot. Just like Nebraska's been in the same spot that Illinois was against Indiana. Got a couple of those texts. Yeah, Nebraska's loss stung to Michigan, but could have been worse. Could have been Illinois. I mean, what a bad day they had. Yeah, Nebraska's had that day. Nebraska's had that day more times than any of us care to count. So, yeah, it's great that Wisconsin's backsliding. You know, it's fun to watch from a distance. But how quick we forget that Nebraska is trying to crawl out of a very similar pit. OG Breaker. Oh, no, it's only four games in and we're already talking about firing coaches. Maybe the fans are, but I've been very clear, not calling for jobs. Just calling for reevaluation, saying, hey, is this working? Are you the guy to fix it? Prove to me you're the guy to fix it. 0658. Nebraska's O-line has been less than mediocre in the Big Ten under Donovan Raiola. I feel he's a huge reason he's been retained was to have a chance at Dylan. Obviously, it doesn't hurt having an uncle around. Not in the slightest. But again, Donovan Raiola is not the scapegoat for the entirety of the Michigan game. You know, Terry Braden isn't the scapegoat for Nebraska's loss to Michigan. they're responsible, but they're not individually uniquely culpable by any stretch of the imagination. Nebraska's line across the board has gotten better under Donovan Raiola. It's not elite. It's middle of the pack in the Big Ten. Guess what? Nebraska is a middle of the pack Big Ten team right now. Can Nebraska do better than Donovan Raiola? Maybe. I don't know. Could Nebraska do worse than Donovan Raiola? Almost assuredly. And I'm sure Husker fans, you have seen that and will be able to tell me what worse looks like. 5086. Austin, you're spot on. We legit just broke the no bowl streak. Let's get to a bowl every year and keep the program growing. Again, just so I am understood, what I am saying is the program needs to take steps. It's head down. It's keep working. Like Jay Foreman says, you're always chasing the ghost. Nebraska might find a way to get back to the glory days of the 90s. And maybe we get, you know, 1994 and 1995 and 1997 again in the future. It's on the table. It's in the realm of possibility. But I'm saying it's A, unfortunate that Nebraska hasn't been able to do what Indiana has. B, it's unfortunate for pick your reason. I don't know the rationale why Nebraska hasn't had the season that Indiana has. That's not up to me to answer. I've given you my opinion all show long. But just because I say I want to see at least 8-4 or at least 7-5 for five straight years, that'll just make me feel better in the big picture. That doesn't mean each individual loss doesn't sting. It doesn't mean that there aren't things to discuss about the players and the personnel in the micro sense. But we have to be clear about what discussion we're having. In no way am I saying the end goal for Nebraska is be happy at 8-4 and have your miracle 10-2 year a la Minnesota, you know, with Tanner Morgan and the three receivers when they beat Penn State and whatnot, right? I agree. That should not be Nebraska's ceiling. That shouldn't be where Nebraska is aiming, ultimately. But you can't tell me that's not a step on the journey. You can't tell me that having that season wouldn't be a step in the right direction. But I would rather see Nebraska go from 5-7 to 6-6 with a bowl win to 8-4 in a bowl game to 8-4 in a bowl game to 9-3 to 10-2 to 8-4 to 9-3 rather than, you know, this year all of a sudden Nebraska pop up to 11-1, schedule hits next year, they're 5-7, and then, oh, they're 6-6, 5-7, and then you're having some real long-term questions. That's all I'm saying, is that right now in the middle of a season that felt like it could have been special for Nebraska, and it still can be, in a lot of ways, everything is still on the table for this team. You can look at it in the micro, and that's a lot of what we do here on this station. And you have to be able to look at the trees and say, hey, this position isn't good enough. Hey, this coach isn't good enough. Hey, this group isn't living up to its potential that we think it has. But then sometimes you got to be able to take that step back and see the entire forest of, hey, there are a lot more trees planted in the Nebraska forest now than there were 3 years ago. It is a healthier team. It is a healthier program in a bunch of ways. And that can't go unrecognized. Nebraska's not there. Nebraska hasn't arrived. I get it. Maybe they had a flat tire or two along the way. But at least the road trip is rolling on. Nebraska didn't screech to a halt with a loss to Michigan. The Husker RV is still rolling down the road. Sure, maybe it's not the Husker sports car like the Hoosier sports car in Bloomington. I'm not saying you're wrong for wanting that. I'm telling you that's not what Nebraska hired, and that's not what Nebraska's expecting. They can always accomplish more. They can always be better one step at a time. More of your thoughts right after this on Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, the existential questions we discuss on a bye week. You guys have been great. Had a fun time hanging out with you, chatting with you over the course of the last 3 hours. Austin Orman with you. Big thanks to Nick Zaynert for being around for the first 90 minutes of the show. Evan Bland wrapping up hour two of Old School. And then it's been you and me, Starter Heyman Jewelers text line, Honda Lincoln hotline, hanging out here for the last little bit of Old School. A few more texts to get to here. And if I don't get to it on air, I'll do my best to reply once I get off the air. Drumstick, Nebraska needs longevity in the program again. Revolving door program has been the identity for a decade. Welcome, my friend, to college sports. You either got to find your guy, stick with him through the ups and the downs and the turbulence, or you got to find a way to handle the revolving door better. Plain and simple. You know, college football is not done changing. It's not. This isn't the final form. It's going to change again. So either handle the change better or find a way that you can resist the change and swim against the current. It'll be tough to do. Not impossible. But, you know, I think the days of coaches that are at their schools for 20 years are about done. I think that's going to definitely be the exception more so than the rule, I think, especially at the Power 4 level. Sandman 460, bring Bill Callahan back for the offensive line. LOL, kidding. I get myself in trouble again. Bill Callahan was bad for what he was. Bill Callahan was not the worst coach of the 21st century for Nebraska. Okay? You know, clearly, not good enough. Won a division championship. Won a bowl game. You know, out of 4 years, how many times would Nebraska have killed for a bowl win in a division championship over a four-year stretch? So, Dirty Tony and the boys, in the NIL era, we need performance-based contracts. Ridiculous what I saw on Saturday, knowing they're making more than many hardworking Nebraskans. Dirty Tony and the boys, I get it. Please don't pocket watch. It's tough. Better return on investment would go a long way for Nebraska. And there are certainly business considerations in this day and age of college athletics. But don't begrudge these young men the money. Please. In a lot of ways, yeah, a lot of guys have to be better. But they've been told that they can play for that much money. And so be it. That's the life they chose, life they were given. I'm not going to fault them for it. Expect more, hope they play better. But just don't pocket watch, please. That's not a healthy place to live. And then Professor Rick, who says, valid points. Before the season started, I predicted 7-5, hope for 8-4, would have been thrilled with 9-3. And Nebraska fans have to be careful not to move the goalposts. That part. You know, when you think about the moving the goalposts element of this, and this is how we'll wrap up the show. Both Kurt Cignetti and Matt Rhule, right, just to keep playing off that comparison, have their eyes set on the end zone. You know, maybe for Kurt Cignetti, he was able to get that explosive run, or maybe he threw the 60-yard bomb down the field, got everyone's attention, got the crowd loud, kept him excited. You know, I'm sure Matt Rhule would have loved to be able to do that. I don't know if that's Matt Rhule's personality. Doesn't seem like it. Maybe it is Matt Rhule's personality and it just didn't happen. Maybe he thought it was going to happen and it didn't. I tend to believe that's not the case. I think Matt Rhule talked a lot about sustainability and longevity when he first got to Nebraska and continues to do so today. So what's Nebraska doing? As a program, it's the 4 yards in a cloud of dust approach. Now, they're doing a little gussied up with the passing game instead of the running game. Maybe that's part of what's rankling Nebraska fans. But they got the 5-star quarterback. 10, 30-ish years since that happened for Nebraska. Is Dylan Raiola a step in the wrong direction for the program? I have a hard time believing that. Getting Dylan Raiola to campus, keeping him here for a couple of years, getting the season you are out of him so far, yeah, that's a win for the program. That's good. Step in the right direction. But on the goalpost point, you know, it's not moving the goalposts when you say that different programs will get there different ways. Right now, Nebraska's more in the Illinois track than the Indiana track. Illinois wasn't good right away when Brett Bielema got there. They got better. They gained some respect. They got bigger, faster, stronger, more physical, all that good stuff. But Illinois still hasn't broken through. And Bielema's been there longer than the Matt Rhule's been at Nebraska. You know, different programs do things different ways. Different coaches do things different ways. And I get it, Nebraska fans. It's your turn again. But it's not your birthright. This program's got to earn it. I'm not saying the fan base hasn't earned it. Continues to show up, continues to support. It's widely respected, widely known that this fan base probably deserves better than it's gotten. But clearly the program's not ready yet. In whatever way, whether it's talent, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's coaching, whether it's administration, I don't know. But there's an element or two still holding this program back. It's got some stuff to figure out. It's not in a perfect place. And I know some people have said, well, you know what good football looks like. You never lived it, so you can keep your opinion to yourself. And I get it. No, I haven't lived through the 90s. You know, I was born in 1998. You know, I missed all three championships in the 90s and obviously the two in the 70s. I'm just trying to tell you that as much as you want it to be Indiana, Clearly, that's not the route Nebraska's heading. Clearly, that's not where Nebraska's at. It's too late for Nebraska to make the splash that Indiana did. So stop wanting it. Stop wishing for it. It's not going to happen in that way. Nebraska can get there. Absolutely can get there. It's on the table for the Huskers. This program has got to grow. This program has got to learn. And sure, you can hope for some expedited growth. But over the past 2 years and change, this program is showing you what it's capable of. That's all they ever do. Whatever they accomplish is what they're capable of. We can hope for more. We can want more for them. But it's up to that program, up to those coaches, up to those players to prove that they're capable of it by going out and doing the dang thing. Thank you all for your engagement all show long. It's been a blast here on Old School. Another show 3 to 6 tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Ticket Weeknights comes your way momentarily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.